from Relay. This is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of streaming media. This is episode number 76, recorded August the 22nd, 2024. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell. And with me again is Joseph Adalian, West Coast editor at Vulture and author of the excellent Buffering newsletter. Joe, welcome back.
Jason Snell, good to be back. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get Tolkien Television and other stuff.
We're gonna talk about some streaming biz. There's a lot going on. I feel like it's a little bit slower. There was a pace there earlier this summer and spring where everything was happening, and now
insane.
It's a little. I mean, it's not calm, but I would say it's a little calmer. Maybe it's a calm before the storm. But we do want to. I want to kick off with a huge story, which is a lot of people thought kind of pointless or just completely tilting at windmills sort of lawsuit by Fubo, the over-the-top essentially cable replacement provider. Mine, a disclosure, I pay Fubo. I use Fubo.
You Fubo.
I am a Fubo person, yes. They sued Disney and Fox and Warner Brothers Discovery, saying their new over-the-top sports streaming service Venue, which we listeners to Downstream may also know we called it Spulu for a long time, but it's a Venue.
And by the way, I just want to say that I was the first person to actually say that on Twitter. There was another person who sort of was about 10, 15 minutes before, but Julia sort of took ownership of it.
And Julia absolutely embraced Spulu as a concept.
Julia did, yes. And Puck went on. My editor of my newsletter, I wanted to put it in Buffering when it happened. And my editor was like, Spulu, Joe, seriously, that's dumb. No one will even know what it is. I love my editor.
Yeah.
In this case, I will never let him forget. I will never forgive him for this because.
Yeah, no kidding.
I could have been, but yeah, it's
so Venue, which formerly Spulu, got sued by Fubo, and Fubo's argument was, I always thought it was pretty strong, but you know, I don't know whether it's going to pass muster. Fubo's argument was, Fubo, for those who don't know, also owned by Edgar Bronfman, who will be covered in another story not long thereafter. They basically said we launched as a sports service. That was their goal, was to create a lighter bundle of TV for sports fans. And what they found was what everybody else in the TV business already knew, which is in order to get the sports channels from such companies as Warner Brothers Discovery and Fox and Disney, as a cable provider, you have to take all their other channels and pay for them. And you end up with a very heavy bundle. And Fubo is essentially, it's almost impossible, other than some of their very specialized channels, to tell the difference when I was shopping between it and like YouTube TV. They're not that different. They really aren't. They contain a lot of the same channels, because you can't really just say, no, we only want your sports channels. You can't do that. So Fubo's argument was, Venue is a place where these three companies are creating new bundles that are available to nobody else, that are skinny, that are sports only, just the sports channels, and it allows them to price it more aggressively. And they said this is basically collusion. It's antitrust adjacent. It's unfair because no one else can compete with them when they offer themselves the best deal. Well, here's the thing. The judge in the case agreed and said, they're right. You can't do this. And that means that Venue Sports, which was going to launch next week, I believe, maybe this weekend, soon, can't. It can't. They're going to miss their planned launch, which was timed for football season. It's going to make there are a lot of other angles here, too, because, of course, in the wake of the judge's ruling, a lot of other companies like DirecTV came out and said, yeah, we agree.
Yeah, and what exactly?
Well, big surprise. But, a lot of negotiations are going on between cable companies and these companies, and it may become a point of negotiation for them, too. This idea that, this is really dangerous when you think about it. Venue opens a can of worms because, as I know you and I have talked about, and we've talked about on this podcast before, even though the future is streaming, so much of the present in terms of money, in terms of profit, in terms of revenue for these companies comes still from
the
payments from the cable bundle.
Right.
And if you open the can of worms or the Pandora's box and say, well, what if there were a skinnier bundle? Or what if it was really a la carte? And cable companies could say, and we've seen a little of this with regional sports networks where they say, well, I don't want you on our standard tier and to pay you for every subscriber we've got. We're going to stick you up on a premium digital tier that's going to be more money per subscriber for you, but less money overall because most subscribers or many subscribers won't be up there. This is the danger that Disney and Fox and WBD now face is other cable providers and satellite providers are going to go. I think DirecTV and EchoStar definitely have said this and say, we are more skeptical about this bundle now too, given what's happened with Venue and what they're trying to do here. So it's really interesting. And I don't know, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I have a hard time seeing that something isn't going to give, whether it's that Venue as a concept may not launch, or whether they're going to be forced to break some of their bundles up, in which case that's a huge, potentially huge loss in revenue for some of these companies. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to do.
Well, you know, I don't either. And look, I think there was a little bit of surprise that this happened because we've become used to the courts and, you know, less so under the Biden administration, but certainly under Trump administration, the government sort of blessing this sort of behavior by these giant companies. And Fubo sort of seemed a little bit like it, not quite a joke, although Rich Greenfield, the analyst, certainly has thought Fubo has been a joke forever, you know, and because this whole sports thing never made sense because of exactly what you said, because yeah, they still had to offer so much. But maybe I wonder if this does lead to a negotiated peace and sort of, you know, and then Fubo will end up withdrawing their lawsuit and agreeing to something. But I actually think, without having done a lot of research in this, I think it is time for everyone involved in the distribution business to be unburdened by what has been, by as Kamala Harris might say, if I'm getting that right. You know, it used to be protecting the bundle at all costs made sense, but that bundle is increasingly meaningless, and there are people who are still subscribing to bundles. Sort of a lot of them really do want most of the channels. And I don't think, you know, I think giving consumers options, you might be surprised how many people it might actually end up being a little as much money, because, you know, there are some ways that some cable networks that have gone outside the bundle, some independent cable operators. There's a service that's sort of like Fubo or YouTube TV. It's called Frndly. You leave off the I. It's just FRNDLY. And it's a sort of just like those other services. It's linear networks, mostly like the Hallmark Channel, like Lifetime, like Great American Television. There's some fast channels they've bundled in recently, MeTV, some digital networks. And it's available for like as little as $9, $10 a month, right? And it's got a decent user interface, but it basically allows people who sort of, you know, moms and grandmoms, you know, and Heartland viewers who sort of just want those networks to just pay for that. And it does pretty well. Now, that works because it does not have any channels from the big conglomerates. You will not find anything from the MTVs or CNNs or Turners or Disney, right? That does not exist on Frndly. But the concept of a skinny bundle with these sort of unaligned, independent sort of ish cable networks, it works. So, you know, given how these companies have also essentially defunded the bundle, you know, defund the police was 2020. 2024 is defund the bundle. And you've got sort of TNT basically as a joke, except for sports. You've got less and less programming. USA Network is doing a couple things now, but it's not. Bravo is still there. Yes. Yeah, so there's still some of that. Those are really the value. So give options. If there are people who really just want cable for sports, which is a lot, but a lot of them are probably going to say, well, I actually kind of want news too, right? So that's going to add some money. And if you can still keep those people in that bundle, you know, maybe there's some value, especially if you're already going direct to consumer. So maybe it makes sense to sort of figure out a price like, all right, fine, we will allow Fubo and others, maybe it's only virtual ones and not linear, you know, hardwired ones, but I think you really should do both. Experiment, do it for 2 years. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people think Venue is sort of a transitory thing anyway, right? Until everything's direct to consumer. Disney does ESPN Plus and everyone just gets out of it. So do some experimentation or not. If they just think that it's a complete disaster, then yeah, they're going to have to drop it. And, you know, oh well. But I think cable is so challenged and the bundle is so challenged. And this does require the cable operators to also bend a little bit. They need to be, you know, everyone always complains about these big companies, but the cable operators are also very stuck and very rigid in terms of the rules about exclusivity and other things. So maybe Disney, you know, and the other companies negotiate, some less exclusivity rules so that, you know, for example, Dancing with the Stars, can't. Well, it's a lot of ABC shows have to still go Next Day on Hulu as opposed to the same thing. Like maybe there's actually that's a bad example because that's affiliate relations. It gets well, but there are. I think basically get rid of the old rules and start experimenting. That's my basic point.
Yeah, and I get the fear, but there is this balance of like, well, there's the fear and there's of what you've got right now. And then there's the future. And I know that I always say this, that it's this innovator's dilemma kind of thing here, but that's the truth is like, it's hard to think about the future when you've got money in the present, but part of your job is to think about the future, right? Like, it's not just to think about that. And is there a way when the streaming is clearly the future to find a way to, you know, keep things stable in the present, but also build for the future. And you're right, there are a lot of challenges there. They're obviously concerned that the moment that they open negotiations here, the cable companies are going to say, well, we're going to rip everything out of that, out of the standard. Because I think that the free money, the easy money that has been so corrosive to a lot of strategy in this area is just the idea that for example, ESPN, every single cable subscriber pays $8 for ESPN.
It's socialism. Like, it's complete socialism.
And you know, whatever percentage of cable subscribers watch ESPN, every cable subscriber pays for ESPN. And that right. is in part because the local affiliates you mentioned, Disney has ABC. And there's that's enormous leverage because of various federal laws about carrying broadcast mm-hmm. channels on cable. It puts the cable companies over a barrel. So you end up in this situation where, yeah, ESPN is getting a huge amount of money from people who never watch ESPN. And that's corrosive, makes it very hard because the moment you're out of the bundle, you're losing an enormous amount of money. But I like your point, which is also, I don't know if there are that many people who are going to say, oh, take me out of that bundle. I don't want any kind of programming like that.
Well, there are people, I think, who will say, I want no sports option, right? And that's, I think that's the biggest thing. There are going to be people who want sports, probably want some of it, but not all, yeah. but to some. I mean, to me, there's the broadcast networks, there's whatever less of entertainment cable, and then there's sports. And I think people different want to mix. There are households where everyone wants Hallmark, and you know, the pricing gets complicated, but there are going to be, you know, you can offer discounts when you bundle. And so if you offer the option to bundle, I think you will get people staying and maybe it might even slow cord cutting if people, because there are a lot of people who prefer having, you know, a cable thing that doesn't go down if the internet goes down. I mean, not everyone gets delivered via or satellite or they want everything in one place. They want a DVR, if people want options. And it's also flashes back, I think we talked about this last time or I've talked about it recently, you know, with Disney and Charter doing a deal that allows people who subscribe to cable to get Disney Plus access. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're basically paying for shows that are going to end up on Disney Plus or cable, like, why not? You know, HBO Max, now just Max, started with a base of people who subscribe to HBO Linear, and that made sense. Why should you have to pay more for Max? Even though technically you do get more than you get just on the Linear. So, yeah, I think experimentation is key.
Yeah, I like the idea. I wonder if one way they could go with this. You're right. Venue is interesting because like Disney is still working on what they call flagship, which is ESPN mm-hmm. over the top, off the cable bundle, direct to consumer.
Right.
Now, the difference there is that would be a direct to consumer offering just from Disney. And I think part of the argument against Venue is that it's three competitors joining together and offering themselves the best deal, which is Fubo's argument. I'm not sure there's as much of a legal argument for Disney just doing it. I mean, depending on the cable company's contract with Disney, that they're not going to offer that, but at least it's a little less bad when it's not three titans building a joint venture together. But yeah, one way out of this would be to say, you know what? If anybody else wants to take Venue's terms and get a sports bundle of these three things and resell it, we'll let them. That would be, and Fubo would say, done, right? Fubo would immediately take that deal because that was the product Fubo was trying to build already.
Now, of course, the thing is, though, that price, remember that $43 or whatever is split, whatever the split is. I don't know exactly how much, if it's going one third, one third, one third, or different depending upon whatever. But so that's the they're doing that. There are some startup, there are obviously operational costs involved with running the app. But that $43 or whatever is a direct consumer price. If you charge it to, you know, a wholesaler, I suppose, well, how many consumers do they get? You know, do they get, you know, and what's the rate? So they, it may have to be more than 43, in which case
right.
people say, well, is it worth it or not? But on the other hand, if Fubo can bundle in with the other stuff, people like the Who user knows? Interface, right? It's the way it's about, yes. And by the way, insist on branding too. That would be what I would do. I was like, you have to call it the Fubo tier. So Fubo, I don't know if Sling has different tiers, orange, blue, whatever. I don't know if Fubo has tiers, but just make this the, you know, the venue tier.
Venue tier. Yeah. It's the problem is also is the venue's price is artificial and they already have a plan and have said that they would continue to raise it year after year. And the impression is that, you know, they're basically doing the other thing that was in the lawsuit was they're also going at a loss in order to destroy the competition here. So Fubo's argument is they're also, not only are they pricing it in a way that is, you know, they're selling to themselves and it's a special price nobody else gets. And then they're also going to use their power to sell it at a loss in order to get new subscribers. And I will be honest, as a sports fan who only watches sports and Jeopardy on Fubo TV, I really only watch sports and Jeopardy, and Jeopardy airs on my ABC affiliate. It would be, I would probably get Venue. The only thing that would stop me, interestingly, is that my baseball team is on an RSN that I don't think will be on Venue. So I might, that might keep me on Fubo, but you see that would be the beauty of something like Fubo is that they could like package it with some other content
right.
that the joint venture is never going to do because Comcast, which is my local RSN, is a Comcast network, will never do because they're not in the deal here. They're not part of the deal. So I don't know what they're going to have to do, but they're quick sort of like, let's do this. It'll be quick and easy and we'll get it out there. I'm fascinated to see where this will go because what it's doing is it's picking at this, the, you know, almost like the scab of the all the cable and satellite providers, paying them huge amounts of money, even for subscribers that don't use the content. And clearly the cable bundle is going to go away as cable drops off, but this risks just blowing up the cable bundle before it can go away. But the upside is pretty interesting. So like, I don't know where it goes from here, but it feels like very fundamental to the economics of the past and future of television.
It does. And again, I do hope it prompts some innovation and some breaking of old rules because the thing is, like, again, like I said, cable is something that just doesn't expect cable operators. You know, I never have too much sympathy for the cable operators because these are the ones who, when they were making so many millions and hundreds of millions, maybe billions of profits collectively, you know, failed to truly invest in the technology to make, for example, on demand just smooth and effortless. Imagine, right. You know, it for you, even now, it still sort of basically sucks. They don't have the bandwidth. The interface was slow. And they didn't invest. And so people said, well, let me try these other things. And they got TiVo and then they got streaming and they sort of, but people like the convenience of everything in one place, turn it on, flip through the channels. And they slowly have added apps, but even then it still doesn't work. And then they've decided, well, forget about cable. We're going to do some of that, but we're going to do it over the top with streaming. But then it's sort of like, well, then you're also making people once again have to deliver it through your internet. And you know, they've adjusted by becoming internet wholesalers, but they just never innovated. And part of it was they said they were hamstrung by, the networks insisting on bundling, but even then, cable operators could have found other ways to sort of offer cheaper bundles. I don't think they ever did, and I think maybe there's, you know, some. It's the same thing I think, by the way, about the broadcast networks. You know, rather than innovate, they're just going to cut. They're going to cut the amount of programming. Yep. They're going to reduce the kinds of programs they do, the number of original hours, rather than find out what's the new model. How do we adjust? How do we do things differently? Same thing with affiliate groups. You know, they're all worried about their needs rather than figure out how do we sort of figure out the new way forward for local TV and interacting and where can, you know, and because of course the big networks and the conglomerates want all of the affiliate revenue. And it's just a bunch of, again, preserving the status quo until it just collapses rather than innovating the status quo, which I think would actually help extend the lifespan. And instead, they're going to be risking just complete and utter collapse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And of all things, It was Spulu who brought all this stuff out. But it was all there. It's all boiling in the background. It's just that this was that moment. And why, I think it's safe to ask why they thought they were going to be able to get away with this one, because they know that they're going against some fundamental business models. I actually would ask the same question about ESPN and Flagship next year, their direct-to-consumer, because I also believe there's probably language in their agreements with cable companies about making that available direct-to-consumer outside of a cable bundle that will be unfavorable to Disney. And maybe they've negotiated their deal so that that's not the case, but I have a hard time believing that. And so, again, you're calling in to question the entire concept of the money you're getting from cable for ESPN in order to launch the service. Like, I'm glad they want to launch it. I think that's great. But be careful what ground you tread on, because you are going to be prepared to have to lose revenue in the near term because the fact is the 70% of cable subscribers who don't watch ESPN don't want to pay you $8 a month, but right. They do for now.
Right. Right. It's but maybe that's actually in some ways a good thing if they're willing to take these risks and understand that they think, all right, we finally have to do some weird things. And because the alternative is too harsh.
Yeah. No, I like the innovation. I don't like the fact that they're trying to do an end run around competitors and competition, which is what the court has ruled as well. So we'll keep an eye on it once it's into this phase in the courts, maybe there is a settlement or something like that. I don't really know quite where this is going to go, but I think it's really interesting and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. Because this has huge implications. Okay. We will keep an eye on it. I have no letters for this week, but that's okay. Send us your letters. We would love to hear from you. Downstreamfeedback.com, love to your mothers. This brings us to the end of the show. If you are not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you missed us discussing Edgar Bronfman trying to buy Paramount and letting the billionaires fight. You missed us talking about Disney Plus's success when other rivals of Netflix have struggled. We talked about the Olympics and managed to make ourselves angry about it. And we talked about theater box office being back. If you're not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you should get it. Go to downstream.plus. You'll get full versions of every episode, not just every other episode, access to the excellent Relay FM Discord, bonus shows from Relay, and much more. You can find me at Six Colors. I appear on many other podcasts at Relay, as well as over at theincomparable.com. And you can find Joe at Vulture, and in the Land of the Giants podcast about Disney, and of course the Buffering newsletter. Joe, hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.